Well, good morning. Good to be back with you all. Libby and I had some time off last week, and we enjoyed it. And I want to thank those who filled in for me. And it is good to be back here with you at Grace Point Church. And if this is where you come all the time, one of our members, or you come here regularly, it's good to see you again. Maybe this is your first time here for the first time in a while. We just want to let you know we're glad you are here as well. So why don't you just stand up with me and find somebody you can welcome to the church this morning. Just say hello, that you're glad they're here. I want to read a couple of verses this morning as we begin. It comes from Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. The psalm writer said this, "My soul is quiet and waits for God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and the one who saves me. He is my strong place. I will not be shaken. My being safe and my honor rest with God. My safe place is in God, the rock of my strength. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a safe place for us." The church is a semi-safe place, but God is our always safe place. Would you pray with me, please? God, we want to thank you that you are always there for us. In the good times of life, we can come before you and thank you and praise you. And in the trying, difficult, down times of life, we can come to you because you are our safe place. So make us feel safe here, not just in this church building, but because you are here. We worship and honor you today, God. And if you decide to bless us, we'll be very grateful, because we ask that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. We have some house lights here. I like to see the folks. Oh, wait a minute. So based on the video, anybody want to take a guess where we're going to be spending the next 8 weeks? In the Beatitudes. We're going to be starting a new series called Maintaining Happiness in Your Life. And the whole series is based on these Beatitudes that Jesus taught in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're going to be looking at the first part, "It depends on who you depend on." Now, if you've got a bulletin on your way in, take the outline out. You can follow along as well as fill in some blanks there. Maintaining happiness in your life, we're going to be talking about it depends on who you depend on. If you want to be blessed, if you want to maintain happiness in your life, it always depends upon who you depend on. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is the very first beatitude. Now, it's interesting. Jesus starts the beatitudes, and he uses this word throughout, the word blessed. And I like that. God starts teaching with a blessing. He doesn't say, "Let me give you 8 curses and burdens." He says, "Let me give you 8 blessings." And that's my kind of preacher. He says, "Let me tell you 8 different ways that you can maintain a sense of happiness in your life." So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? To me, it sounds like a spiritual Eeyore. Anybody here familiar with the Disney characters? Eeyore, he's one of my favorites. You know, Eeyore's this, it's just okay. And how you doing, Eeyore? Well, I'm okay. And well, things aren't always the best. And, you know, that's not what the Beatitudes are. They're more like Tigger, you know? Guy's got energy and pizzazz. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit. Look on your outline or look on the screen. I put several different translations here from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. The NIV says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The New Living Translation says, "God blesses those who realize their need for Him." God's Word Translation says, "Who recognize their spiritual helpless." They are spiritually helpless. Blessed are those who depend on Him, and blessed are those who know they have great spiritual needs. You can see a pattern developing here. He says, I recognize that I'm inadequate to live my life without God. I think a verse that clarifies this is found in Psalm 146, verse 5. Look what it says. The Lord God blesses everyone who trusts Him and depends on Him. Underline or circle that word trusts and the word depends. This is the first condition for God's blessing in your life. You've got to trust God and you've got to depend upon God. You trust Him, you depend upon Him. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. So let me give you a definition. To be poor in spirit means this. It means I humbly depend on God instead of myself. It means I humbly depend upon God instead of myself. So if you want God's blessings on your relationship, maybe with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, husband, wife, children, parents, you've got to depend upon God. If you want God's blessing in your work, your career, in your studies, if I want God's blessing on my finances, my health, I have to depend upon God, not another person, not myself. Ultimately, you depend upon God. So the question begs us, then how do I do that? How do I depend upon God in all these different ways, in all these different areas of my life? So this weekend, I want to give you five practical ways to depend upon God. And if you practice these, you will become poor in spirit. You recognize you need God in your life. You would depend upon Him, and then you have a sense of happiness, even in the tough times. So here's the first one. Number one, if you want to depend upon God, you need to depend upon God's wisdom, not yours. Anybody learn that the hard way? You depend upon God's wisdom, not mine. In other words, you listen to what God says, you follow what God says and how He says it, what He says to do, what He says not to do. You depend upon His wisdom. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to us, but in the end, it's a dead end. He says our ideas often lead us to dead ends. You ever felt like you had a feeling that something was so very right and you just knew it was the right thing to do and you felt it with all of your heart, all of your mind, all your being, all of your soul, and then you did it up and it ended so badly, so awfully wrongly? Anybody here ever had an epic fail? I mean, an epic fail. I believe we all have. So the first way to get God's blessing in your life is you depend upon God's wisdom, not your thoughts or feelings. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't give you His wisdom through thoughts or feelings. I'm not saying that at all. But you better make sure that they're from God, not just something that somebody else is telling you. You depend upon God's wisdom, not your wisdom. At a hotel in Mexico, there was a second floor rooms, and they had balconies that overlooked the water. And thinking guests might try to fish from their balconies and break windows, they put a sign up there that said, "No fishing allowed." Now, what does a child do if you tell them not to do something? No fishing allowed. 12 windows were broken in the first two weeks. And so one of the workers on the janitorial staff went to his boss, who took him to the next house. And finally he said, "Listen, you got to take that sign down because you're telling them something not to do and they're going to do it. Just take the sign down. They took the sign down and not another window was broke. That's wisdom, right? Now put that on a God level. If you want to have fewer dead ends in your life, fewer broken windows in your life, if you want to have fewer defeats and failures in your life, then you need to depend upon God's wisdom, not our wisdom. The writer of Proverbs says this in chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your paths. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, respect the Lord and turn your back on evil." Don't depend on the hunches you have. Sometimes they'll lead you astray. Don't depend just on your own reasoning or your own understanding. Seek God in all that you do. Seek God about what He wants you to do, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, your relationships. And the Bible says when you seek Him, God will direct your paths. Now, how do you get God's wisdom? Two ways. One, you pray and read. You pray to God. You ask Him. You read God's word. You obtain wisdom that way. You talk to God. And you read your Bible. Let Him talk to you through His word. That's how you get God's wisdom. If you really want to maintain happiness in your life, you depend upon God's wisdom. And number two, you depend upon God's strength, not your own. Anybody here ever felt worn out? Anybody here felt worn out a lot? Anybody here felt worn out the last 6 months? It happens. We need to depend upon God's strength, because our strength is finite. It only goes so far. You depend upon God's strength, God's power, God's energy, not our own. We get tired quickly. At the end of the day, we're probably worn out. We're running out of energy, and the reason why is because we're just human. I can't wait till I'm in heaven, because we're not going to run out of energy there. We're not going to have to say, "God, no more. I need a break." But down here we do. Our strength is limited, but God's strength is unlimited. Our strength is finite. God's strength is infinite. Your strength is exhaustible. God's strength is inexhaustible. So we need to depend upon God's strength, not our own. A single draft horse, such as the Clydesdale, can pull a load of 8,000 pounds. Pretty impressive. But you would think that if two draft horses were pulling, they could pull what? 16,000, right? Those of you that aren't mathematicians, just do your adding. One can pull 8, two can pull 16. You're wrong. Two Clydesdales working together can pull 24,000 pounds. And two trained draft horses working in tandem together can pull 32,000 pounds. Folks, we need to realize we're limited. Our own strength is limited. And without God, depending upon our own strength, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, we can't do it all on our own. But with God's strength, we can do everything that God calls us to do, anything that God tells us to do, because we're depending upon His strength. Psalm 84, verse 5 says this: "You," speaking of God, "you bless all who depend upon you for their strength." You want to maintain a sense of happiness in your life, then you need to depend upon God's strength, not your own. So what do you do when your strength evaporates? You know, when something evaporates, it isn't gone instantly. A little here, a little there, and over the course of time, it has enough time, it's gone. It evaporates into nothing. And that's how it is in life. We get a little here, we lose a little bit of strength there, a little more here. We may not even realize it until we get where we are just absolutely depleted of our strength. Look at Psalm 84, verse 5. "You bless all who depend on you for their strength. And then Isaiah 40:31, those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. Now, I'm going to tell you this. This is a good verse. We can claim it as a promise, but that doesn't mean it happens instantly all the time. Sometimes God leaves us down here. He's teaching us more lessons and saying, God, I'm claiming this verse. I'm claiming this. He said, good, I'm going to give it to you, but not yet. A little bit at a time, because he wants to teach us all kinds of things for life. And sometimes he brings us out, but not instantaneously. But in the moments of your life when you can't see a way forward in the midst of your darkness, trust God when he's ready in his timing to give you the strength to get back up and get back out. This is one of those promises you can pray back to God. You know, you can pray scripture back to God. God, here it is. You said this. Here's what you said, God. It's like we need to remind God of something he already said, right? When we do that, it's reminding us who we depend on. And know that God will give us strength. And when you're going through it, you may be living one moment at a time. Then when you get to the other side, you look behind you, you turn back around and you realize, wow, God's strength was really there. I didn't know it going through it, but now that I'm through it, I turn around and look back and I realize, man, there was God's strength. There was God's strength. I see what he was doing. I see how he was working in my life to get me out, to get me back on track, to get to the other side. That's how sometimes you get through the darkest days of your life. In God's strength, whether you see it, sense it, feel it, it is there. I think sometimes the reason God doesn't let us see it, and feel it and sense it is because if we did all the time, we really wouldn't have to trust him a lot. But when we can't see those things and we can't feel those things, then we have to trust God. Look at Psalm 71, verse 16. I will walk in the strength of the Lord. I walk in the strength of God. It's a great verse. It reminds us that throughout the day, when you need God's presence and you don't think you have it, you just pray back and say, God, I'm walking in your strength. I don't understand it. He provides it in a variety of ways, but God, you said you would be my strength, and God, I'm walking in your strength. Go back to work on Monday. Mondays. That's an Eeyore day. Mondays, right? After a weekend, you got to go back to work. Oh, here I go. Go to work on Monday morning. God, I'm walking in your strength. Midday, God, I'm walking in your strength. Go home on a Monday night. Got stuff to do. God, I'm walking in your strength. I don't just depend upon God's wisdom to do the right thing. I do the right thing with the right power. We're doing the right thing under God's strength. We need to plug into God's power. I want to say when you get older, you're going to face the pains and the problems of aging. I am older, and I understand what that means. And it can be kind of frightening, actually. Just talk to somebody who's getting up in age and ask them about it. Here's a good verse, though. Psalm 73, verse 26. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. It's a good verse to remember. That when everything else falls apart in my life, God is the strength of my heart. Number three, to maintain happiness in life, you depend upon God's timing, not mine. The more years I live, the more I understand how God's timing is important in every area of life. You know, the difference between a foul ball and a home run is timing. The difference between a touchdown and an incomplete pass is timing. Difference between a strike and a split in bowling is timing. Difference between a dry cake or a dry steak and a moist cake and a moist steak is timing. The Bible is really clear about the fact that there are seasons to our lives. And one of the seasons that God talks about again and again is the season of waiting. Not necessarily a season I like. We live in an age of instant everything. But God says sometimes he takes us through the season of waiting. And while we're waiting, God wants our attention to be upon him. While we're waiting, God is working in our lives. Don't think that the season of waiting means God has stopped working. He's still working. He's just taking us through a season of waiting to bring us about where he wants us to be. So we're ready for the next thing he wants to learn. Wants us to learn, or he takes us through the next thing so we can be where he wants us to be, to continue to love him and serve him. God's timing is always perfect. We just don't know it because we don't see everything the way God does. Would you agree with that? We can't see everything that God sees. He sees what's going to come behind us. He sees what's beside us. He sees what's in front of us. He can see a mile down the road. He can see for eternity down the road. He gets it. Sometimes we just need to trust him. The problem with our waiting is in our human nature and the culture around us, everything says, you don't got to wait. We want to fast track everything. I know I don't go through the drive-thru as much anymore. I try to avoid those places, but every once in a while I go through the drive-thru, and I want to go up to that machine and make my order. I'd like a double quarter pounder, please. No, just kidding. I want to place my order. I don't want them to even tell me to repeat. Just place my order. I want to drive up through the first window, throw my money in, keep on driving to the second window, grab my bag, and just go on. Now, that's fast food. God says, you can have your fast food that way, but you don't get through life that way. God's timing is always perfect. God's timing, his blessing for our lives, comes when he's ready to give it. Look at Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has set the right time for everything. Would you just underline that whole verse? God has set the right time for everything. Now, I know some folks in this building right now, you're in a time of waiting. Maybe you're waiting for school to end. Soon, right? You got another week or two? School will be out. Hey. Maybe you're waiting for a man or a woman to come into your life. Maybe it's for a marriage to happen or a baby to come. If you're honest, you say, you know what? It's not happening, and I'm a little frustrated. I don't understand why God isn't moving a little quicker. There's a promise in the Bible that tells you not only that God is working, but also how God is working. It's in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. God says, I am the Lord, and when it is time, I will make these things happen quickly. I'm God, and you're not. I have a much broader vision than you, and you don't. I know what you've been through, I know what you're going through, and I can see what's coming around the bend, and you don't have a clue. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of that. That when it's God's timing, he will make it happen. If I understand God right, he's never early, he's never late. He's always on time. And number four, I depend on God's defense, not mine. Folks, there's always going to be people in your life who misunderstand you. Would you agree with that? They just don't get it about you. we don't get it about you sometimes either. There's always going to be people who don't like you. There's always going to be people who criticize you, judge you, attack you, gossip about you. It's going to happen. A lot of people think, if I could just be perfect and everybody would love me. No, they wouldn't. Jesus was perfect, and a lot of people didn't like him. Some of them killed him. Even in close relationships, there can be trouble. Those who love you most sometimes are going to misunderstand you, or you're going to misunderstand them. And it's all because we live in a broken world. When Adam and Eve sinned, everything, the way God set it up, everything was ruined. When you're misunderstood, you're going to have a tendency to want to defend yourself. When you're attacked, your tendency is to attack back. When you're criticized, you want to criticize back. When you slam, some people slam you, then you want to slam them back. People insult you, you want to insult them back. Don't do it. Let God be your defender. I am not saying ever, ever let someone abuse you. I am not saying that at all. If that's the case, you get out of that relationship immediately. You get help. But when people are just being people, you don't have to get into what they're doing to you and get back to them. You don't have to do that. You be the bigger person. You let God be your defender. God says every time you get under attack, when you get criticized, you get put down, you're misunderstood, you have two choices. You can defend yourself, or you can say, God, you take care of it. Now, who do you think can do a better job of defending you? You or God? Going with God. Look at Psalm 2, verse 12. God blesses and protects everyone who runs to him. Sometimes we need to let God be our defender against accusations and critics. King David, who wrote these next verses, was criticized and attacked his entire life. And in Psalm 62, verses 5 through 7, look what he said. I depend on God alone. I put my hope in him. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. My salvation and honor depend on God. He is my strong protector. He is my shelter. There are five metaphors David uses here. He says God's my protector, savior, defender, victor, and shelter. And he's saying God can take care of all of it. Let's let God handle it. And when you do that, you are being poor in spirit. You're saying, God, I'm not depending upon myself. I'm depending upon you, on your strength, your timing, your defense, not mine. And when God sees a person like that, he says, hey, that's my boy. That's my girl. They're trusting me. They're recognizing their own humanity, and they can't do it on their own. They know they're poor in spirit. They can't handle it. So they're coming to me. And that's a way to maintain your happiness in life. And number five, I depend on God's wealth, not mine. On God's wealth, not my wealth for my security. I depend upon God. If you put your security in your bank account and you are an insecure person because you can lose everything, you're going to have, and that's happened recently, right? All the things politically, I'm not going to get political here. None of us are going to do that. But you'd have to have your head in the sand not to realize that recently we went from here to here to here. And you're going to trust that? No, I'm going to trust God. Put your security in your job. You can be insecure because you can lose your job in a heartbeat. Put your security in investments. You're going to become insecure because you could lose your investments. Back in the 1980s, does anybody remember somebody that saved through retirement all of this in 1980s to happen and lost it all? Lost it all. Put your security in something that can't be taken from you, and that's God. Paul said this in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all of my needs from his abundant wealth because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. to be secure, not to be anxious. I depend upon God and how much He's got, not how much I've got. If I were to go home right now and turn on the faucet in my kitchen and no water came out, what would I do? I'd say, oh my, the world has run out of water. I'm not getting any water out of my faucet, though the entire planet is devoid of water. Well, you know that's not true. The problem isn't with the source. The problem is with the distribution point. There's plenty of water in the world. Something just happened in the channel. That can be fixed. If one channel gets blocked in your life and the faucet stops working, God can always turn on another faucet. If God closes a door in your life, He can always open another. God is not limited by ability nor capacity. Living poor in spirit means I realize that God is the source of my supply and I depend upon Him to take care of me. The more you do that, the more you'll be able to maintain happiness in your life. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Because happiness in life, being blessed in life, depends on who you're going to depend on. So my question before all of us is that, who are you going to depend on? You depend on God. You might struggle, you might go through all kinds of issues, but God's going to be there for you. He's going to bring you through it, and He's going to teach you to become the person that He wants you to be. All right? Let's pray together. God, I want to thank You for these Beatitudes that are placed in Your Word. Jesus, thank You for teaching these Beatitudes to us. And as we go over them in the next 8 weeks, I pray this morning we'd get an understanding of what it means to be poor in spirit. It doesn't mean we're not worth something. It doesn't mean we just walk around like we have no sense of spirituality or that we're not good people. It just means that we depend upon You. In ourselves, we cannot do it all. And so You've taught us to depend upon You. So remind us, Lord, when we start depending upon ourselves or other people or circumstances or organizations, help us to come back and say, God, ultimately, I'm depending upon You. You direct me, God. You teach me. You show me where to walk and where I need to stay away from. God, I'm depending upon You for everything I need, for every aspect of my life. I'm depending on You. And then teach us, Lord, as we proclaim that, as we accept that, as we receive that, teach us then to trust You, not just when things are going great, but especially when things are just the opposite of what we feel like we need. We're going to depend upon You. Lead us to do that, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I found a tune that Jason and Stevie have never played. Can you believe that? So, guys, let's play a little, just a touch. This is part of our announcements. And here we go. Ending. And we have still never played that song.
One day we will. One day we'll.
So here it is, folks. If you have not turned in the information for your graduates, make sure you do that. In 2 weeks, we're going to be calling them up here and giving them a little gift and everything. And do something a little different this year. We have a bunch of 8th graders moving up to 9th. So we're not going to give them all a gift. We're going to mention them as well. So if you have an 8th grader that's moving up as well, let us know. So that's one of our announcements. That was a long announcement, wasn't it? That was a good one. So Stevie didn't miss a lick, though. That was good, Stevie. So tonight, 6 p.m., the youth will be meeting at the Pickett's house. That is at Teal Marsh, correct, Tim? He'll be cooking the burgers out there. Yeah. Come on out. We're actually going to give away a free trip to Carowinds tonight. So come on out, 6 o'clock. I see the adults wanting to come now, but yeah. So check that out as well. Thursday, May the 29th, is our next James Island Outreach where we help out at the food bank. You come and be a part of that. A great crowd last time, I think, came out to join for that as well. Small groups, I hope you're in a small group. If not, find your place to be in there as well. All right, Jason.
All right.
Hey, folks, as we go out, take that joy and excitement with you. Depend on the Lord this week as we think about the great message of the Beatitudes. Let's join in prayer. Father, thank you for this message that we've heard today. Lord, so many ways that we need to learn to depend on you in every way possible. Just help us to let go and to let God, to let you take over, to depend on you completely. Lord, we love you. We thank you now, and take us now safely from this place. And we lift it up in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.